So for those who are new, God has been speaking to me and my family about going to plant a church in Luxembourg. So in the next year or so, we are transitioning as lead elders to Luxembourg. And so God has been raising up a team to lead this congregation from the time when we would leave. So we're going to be sharing a lot more about, let's not have that up right now, let's have that up just now when I start. But otherwise you read all that and don't listen to what I say before that to introduce that. So then, where was I? So since that time, God has been doing things, speaking to people, speaking to us, and things have just, it's been like a flower that bloomed. And we want to share some of that with you today. A narrative of God building. So change, this is change. And so for some, change is lekker, and for others, change are not so lekker. Sometimes change is unhealthy and bad. And then those who like change still think it's going to be nice because it's change. And those who don't like change still don't like change because it's change. But it's unhealthy and it's bad. But sometimes change is good because it's God and it's healthy. And this change is good because it's God and it is healthy. But it's still change. So it's still difficult for those who don't like change that much. And still exciting for those who do like it a lot. So keep that in mind. It is hard. Change is hard. Healthy change, you have to engage with the heart and come through on the other side for much more glory. If the change was indeed God. So I also want to call you into, once again, like last time, into partnership. An uncertain time like this, how are things going to look like? It should call the believer in church to come closer to God, come closer to the community, to come closer to what God is busy doing, to pull together and say, this is us. And I've got a role to play right now to make sure that this works. Last weekend, I was not preaching, so I went to gym before Sunday, before the service. And while I was there, I heard a voice that said, would it really matter if you don't go to church this morning? You're not preaching. And I entertained it for a while and thought, hey, would it really matter? And I realized what it was, and I renounced it right there and said, like, get away from me. I'm going to go to church. And then I came here, and it was our smallest service I can remember in a year. And I think the enemy did the same thing to many people. And I think he's wanting to do that thing in this transition and say, hey, just hang on, just hang at the back, just don't really participate, let them sort out things, and I'll just hang around. Do you think that's God leading that way? Just evaluate it. It's not God leading in that way. Of course, each of us has a mandate to fulfill. And so I'm calling you into partnership in this time. I'm calling you into partnership in this time so that apathy does not set in and we wait and see. Right? So I'm calling you in. It might be hard, but I'm calling you in because I believe it's going to be really good and lead to multiplication if we do that. So I want you to listen really well because we're going to share a lot of details as quickly as possible, as well as I can. And I want you to make notes of things that you've got questions about so that we can make sure to address that in due time also. So to start off with, we have a transition assist committee that is helping me and Jacques and Ross, whom we liaise with, to be a soundboard. So it's most of the leaders on our leaders group actually have volunteered for that. It's about 20 odd people that we share with. So everything I'm going to share with you today, at least 95% of what I'm going to share with you today, I think, they are fully on board with, they know everything about, and they've celebrated this greatly. So that I can start off with, declaring and seeing that it is God has been moving, and the news and the leaders that we'll be announcing to you today has been people that God has been speaking to that's going to ensure that we move from glory to glory. Once again, this is not a church maintenance exercise. Let's hope that we can stay the same we are. No, this is a church multiplication exercise. Okay, it's going to be good change. It's going to lead to multiplication. We've laid a foundation over the last few years, and we've got a solid church. And now we should move. And God has called people for that next season. And I'm looking forward to that. This church will flourish, and this church has and will plant churches. Amen. The transition committee is on board. What we're going to share today is that we have the privilege of releasing leaders that was raised within the church. That's been one of the most, one of the biggest privileges when discipleship works. And you don't have to say, we don't have leaders. Let's go look outside to find someone. And let's appoint someone. And then the whole culture changes and everything changes and everyone has to get to know each other. And we're kind of stagnant for a couple of years. Sometimes that's necessary. When things need to be changed, that's necessary. But this change, things doesn't need to be changed. They need to be multiplied. That's a different kind of a change. And for that, my eyes first looked outside. Think, who will lead? And then God, through the wisdom of Ross, pointed me inside and said, I think you're missing what God is cunning, what God is busy doing. So we've got the privilege of having raised leaders from within. Then our model, our church model, the culture we have, what you know to be us, is going to stay the same. There's going to be different faces doing different things, but what we have is staying the same. It's not changing. Wanted to quickly introduce this little framework for you because it's going to be handy to understand, but we see what we do as ordained leaders and appointed staff as a combination of three things: governance, ministry, and operations. So governance is what elders do. Governance is those who take responsibility before God and for all the big bucket stop here kind of things. That's what elders do. Biblically qualified men, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, that where the buck stops and that takes responsibility for strategic direction. Then you've got ministry that some of those elders, most of them do, and some others do ministry, and all of us should do ministry because the saints are called to do the work of the ministry. So we're all called different to minister. But church staff obviously does a lot of ministry because that's what we do. And then there's operations. So finance management, contract management, technology, things, venue management, social media, it's like office management, the host of things. It's just ops, making sure things happen. That's a helpful way to think about what we do and what I do, for instance. And when we think about handing that over to other leaders, that's also a helpful framework for you to keep in mind. That's going to stay the same. Another thing that's going to stay the same in this model that God has done is he's raised up me to be a marketplace pastor, a working pastor, whatever you'd like to call that. I've always been involved in what I'm called to in corporate and ministry. And it is foreign to many churches because they say, well, when you plant a church, maybe you should be a tent maker, but within some state you get full time. But somehow I've been called differently. I've been called to do both always. There are many others who also do that. But that's been significant for our congregation. Me and Ronelle have always been part time. I don't know if you know that. But we've always been part time because we're called to other things also. And if we could raise up the leaders like Stefani and Nudia and the like, who runs ministries that we don't touch, which is our best ministries, by the way, which I don't touch, then we can do that. And the church actually fulfills its function. And we get to understand what the world is like that you're in, because I'm in that world. I help to lead a company too. We work in companies with other people. And so we can minister from that place too. God has given us that. And now God is multiplying that. Because almost everyone that is calling to us right now to work with going forward has got the same dual thing, which is pretty awesome. And the way that God has been leading. So that model continues. And our culture, as I said, family on a mission, home in the city. I always thought that each one could make pretty cool t-shirts and caps. But it's for home in the city. And foam, I'm not too sure about how one could use that. But I mean, family on a mission, that's our slogan. So that heart, that's going to be who we are. And we're going to continue in it. All right? Happy. Yip-a-dip. Right. Next part. This is all part of the intro. Then we're going to do some exciting things. So things that will stay the same for now. There are some things that are going to stay as they are. Continue into this next season, which is upon us, will be the same. Just so that you know. So Alice is in charge of our of some outreach ministries and also our Straatwerk ministry and ministry to the homeless. Alice, as a volunteer, she does that. We support her as a missionary working with us and with Straatwerk. She'll continue in exactly what she's been doing. Aubrey, he is one day a week. He's focused on youth, so he's at a few schools doing a few things at this school, at Jan van Riebeek, and then engaging with a few others to launch a few things youth, well, both primary and high schools. He's launching into things and released to do that for one day a week while he's doing some other work too. Orbas was going to continue in that space. Mila, have you seen how amazing our social media became over the last while? So Mila's actually formally doing it for half a day a week, just because I really wanted someone that could be dedicated and do it well, and she's been doing it really well. And then she's going to continue to do that, I hope, for long. And then Robert sets up this for us over every weekend, and make sure that that's ready. So Robert's going to continue too. Robert's going to plant churches in Burundi also, just so that you know, that's where he's going. That's where he's going. Willie's also going to plant churches. Yeah. Right, so, and then I want to share with you exciting news about Benjamin. So, Ben is getting married. Yeah. We're still discipling him with regards to the jokes, the corny jokes. He's getting there. He's doing really well with his exegesis, but still working on the jokes. Then, so Ben is called to ministry and missions, and he's growing rapidly in that. He will be leading our Bible school class this year, which started last week, and it looked awesome. He has, however, sensed that God is calling him to the marketplace full-time for a season to grow in specific areas before returning to more full-time ministry and missions in the future again. So Ben is actively pursuing that at this stage, seeking the right opportunity. He will be part of us ministering and bringing his gift and running Bible school and growing towards that call, but sensing clearly that he should be employed outside of the church for a while and that God has led him to that. That resonated with me when he shared it. We celebrated that and we're super excited for that. So it's not going to have a major impact on your life. It'll still seem like Ben is like doing his thing, but that's so that you know what Ben is up to. Can we put our hands together for Ben just because he's amazing? Jy is goed met die grappies, Ben. I'm sorry, you are good. That was my attempt at doing, and that was a bad attempt of making a joke. Sorry about that. I'm also still growing. All right. Where are we? Where are we? Ben, eldership in prayerful progress. So me and Jacques will not be alone for long. I can tell you that, but that's not the update today. That's pending. But there is wonderful prayerful progress happening in that space that we really look forward to sharing with you guys, the elders who lead the church, as we believe, if you read 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, biblically qualified men who are one with their wives, and so their wives are on the team with them because we really need them. And we need them to minister, but it's biblically qualified men who lead their households well. That's the qualification to lead God's household well. And so they, we're working towards that currently. It's me and Jacques, but there's more coming. Then I thought to share timelines, because that's been a big ask the last while. What's the timelines looking like? What's going to happen? There are some things about this timelines that we don't know, but this I can't tell you. It's been on my heart to look at it in these three months slots. March to May, I actually trusted God with this. I said, God, this is the plan I have, and I'm trusting you it would work out in this way. And currently, it's working out to a T in this way, it seems. So March to May, I trusted God that we'd be able to assemble the team that's going to lead the church. That has happened and is happening and is what I'm talking about to you today. Praise God for that. It's the 9th of March. Then from June to August, we'll spend a lot of time in Luxembourg and also in Burundi for the church plants there. So, and then I'll somewhere go hunting also just to stay away. But there's going to be 3 months then that we will not be here, where we will actively have handed over to the team that's going to lead to run completely everything for 3 months, which will be a kind of a soft handover. It will be different from that time onwards going forward. We will never step back again and be like, oh, we're back now. Okay, well done, guys. We'll lead for 3 months and then you can lead again. No. But we will come back, that's the plan, from that. And we'll be here to help to optimize and to mentor and to polish and to whatever we can do to help to set things up really well and to learn from the learnings that was then, that happened during June and August when the team ran. After November, December, January, so it's not part of this announcement necessarily, but we're trusting God to take a long break and then to be on our way. But that's for a different day and for when that's more clear. So that's a long and I think proper handover to make sure that things are done well. So transitioning into some actual, so just once again, my role to help you understand as the senior pastor. Senior pastor is just the name we give to the full-time elder or the elder that's the lead elder. It doesn't mean I'm not like Rassi and the elders are like the rugby team. I'm like Sia and the elders are like, we are the same team, okay? Sometimes you think the senior pastor, and in some contexts it's like that. He's like Rassi, so he's the boss. And you've got elders that kind of help and say things. That's not the way we see it. We see the scriptural model of elders leading, but there's a leader within that who convenes, who communicates, and who leads. So the senior pastor is the leader of the eldership. That's what that means. So that's been my role, to lead the eldership. From a governance perspective, we take full ownership of that, and I lead that team. From a ministry perspective, I lead ministry, and I lead some ministries, but I don't lead all of them, and I don't even know what's happening in half of them. That's been intentional. And it's not the case in most smallish churches like ours. But that's been intentional to have leaders run with stuff. And then operations. I lead a lot of operations, but not all. But I do contract management and finance management and venue management and stakeholder and school and community and like networks within Cape Town and whatever else you want to throw into that box. I do a lot of it, not all of it. So this role, without the operations, I'm handing over to someone that I trust with my life. The operational part of this, we're going to hand over to a team I'm going to explain to you clearly just now, who are way more skilled than I am to do all that stuff, and to do some of the ministry stuff. So the operations thing, the next senior pastor of this church will not be involved in that, operations. We're going to have a super rock star team to do that. He will still lead and assist in all of that, but that's going to be different going forward. You won't know about that because that's going to have an impact on you in terms of church ministry, strategic direction, leading, all that stuff. But that's like technically how this is going to work. So I am entrusting my role as senior pastor, leader of the eldership, to a faithful man. And I can say to his wife because she's always part of it's a package deal. To a man that has served this congregation far longer than I have and have co-led alongside me for 6 years. He will step into the governance and ministry leadership for the church with a strong, capable team and will take full responsibility of that. His focus will remain on spiritual leadership, not operational aspects. There is, in my view, no one better to carry this mantle forward and to understand what God has done and wants to do here and has been part of what God has been doing here for about 15 years. And also someone that God has been clearly speaking to and has been making significant sacrifices in his own life to obey God in this. And so I am going to hand over that senior pastor role, leader of the eldership, to my good friend Jacques Legrandsy. Jacques is married to Nita, and he's father to Joshua, and it's those things that qualify him for eldership. The fact that he loves them and leads them well is what qualifies him for eldership. That's half of it. So that's really important. He's been a member, minister, and missions leader in this congregation from 2011. He's been an elder at this congregation from 2018, just before we joined. He's professionally qualified as a chartered accountant, CASA, with BAC honors degree. Out there in the wild, he's a director at a phenomenal company, OCFO, which is doing great work, and you can go read up about it. I'm also working there, and quite a few others. I think 10% of OCFO staff works is from our church, and we pick the best, and we do well in that. And he's also been through Bible School 1, 2, and 3 of Shofar. I think of the old and the new curriculum, he's done it. Just on that, maybe Nita's role is still in prayerful consideration, the exact elements of it, still in prayerful consideration, as is the way that Renal's role will be handed over. So that's still also pending, like the other elders' announcement is also pending. That's also still pending. So sometime in May or June, whenever Pastor Ross is available, we'll seek to have an opportunity where I put my hands on him and hand him a stick. But from May or June, Jacques will be leading the eldership. This is his responsibilities on that next slide. Jacques will be leading the eldership. He'll be the link between the eldership and the staff. He'll be strategic and visionary lead, teaching and preaching lead, along with the fellow elders, both of those. Community building and networks and Shofar regional engagement, which is part of what one does. That'll be Jacques' role Let's put our hands together once again for Mr. Lagrans.
Thanks, DB. Yeah, it's we're really excited about this. DB just asked me to give some context and just share about our journey leading up to this. So, bit of background, been in the church since 2011, and over the years really felt like God calling us to Cape Town and what He's doing through this church. When we started out as CFO, one big thing for me was, hey, we could do business in the city, and just the involvement of church and work just felt like a good fit, and that was a big part for me, just in terms of my journey with Outsource CFO as well. And I think fast forward, when Debia mentioned, they shared with us them going to Luxembourg, it was at the convergence where I just felt God inviting me to scale down my involvement time-wise at Outsource CFO to 3 days a week, and as a way to just get more into what God is already doing. So I feel like this just opens time for us to be more involved practically and hands-on in terms of what God has already been doing. And what, in my mind, I've always been committed to in that extent already, but just felt like, okay, now we're going to have time practically as well. So, yeah, we're really excited about that. And with the church and what, like Debia mentioned, what God is doing in this church, feel there's something really special in terms of community and how we're involved in that. So, yeah. Thanks, Debia.
Thank you, Jock. So, to be clear, Jock's already doing all these things and have been for long with me. It's not a new role. It's a next step in that. Then, I'm excited for this. I'm sharing with you updates because Jacques already been part, but there's a change in his role. That's why we're sharing it. We're also sharing the next thing I'm going to sharing is someone that's already part, but it's going to be a change. There's going to be a gear shift in that, and then we're going to be sharing about two new people. So you're all waiting for that, but I'm keeping it for last, okay? Just to keep you awake and with us. So in that ministry, so Jacques governance, okay? Put that in the governance box. Governance and ministry box. Then we move to ministry and operations box. That's the box we're in now. So that's typically staff, non-elder staff. Okay? Non-elder pastoral staff, pastors, junior pastors, full-time worship leaders, whatever you'd have, the ministry and operations team. That's where we're going to right now. More info on the rest of the governance later. We're moving to operations. God fixed that first, it seemed. Okay? Clear on that box? We're going into that box. So first and foremost in that box, I want to speak about our wonderful and fantastic Juliet Berry. God has been speaking to Juliet. Juliet is a mom extraordinaire, first of all. And then there's a few things that I did not know about Juliet, and I don't think you knew this either. But Juliet has got a BCom honors in corporate communications. She's got a diploma in theology. She's got a MA in Christian leadership. She did Every Nations Bible School all 3 years and Shofar's Bible School all 3 years. She's currently writing a PhD paper on which one is best. No, not that. She has been a core member of a church planting team in China that planted 3 churches years back, and since 2014 she's been working with us as an office manager, counselor, and disciple maker. She's currently also enrolling for a Master's of Divinity at SATS. She is way better qualified than anyone else on this team, just so that you know. Juliet is currently employed as office manager. We will be ordaining Juliet as a pastor. Yes. She already is. We'll just confirm what's already there. So she'll soon be ordained as a pastor, serving under the covering and authority of the elders, not as an elder herself. That was her fear too, that we'd ask her to do that. But that's not the way we believe it should be. Her ordination is specifically for the role of pastoral ministry, meaning she will focus on ministering to the congregation, especially obviously to ladies, while remaining accountable to the elders. She's got a pastoral and disciple-making calling on her life, and we want to fully release her into that and release her from a lot of the administrative and operational things that she has been doing over the years that has caused her to not minister as much as she can and should. So Juliet will be responsible for discipleship and counseling, preaching and teaching, Sunday service coordination, Alpha lead, Homie Sunday administration, newcomers. She'll be the newcomers champion and for office management. Let's put our hand together for Juliet Berry.
Thank you, Debbie. I wasn't aware of some of my qualifications either, if I'm honest. Debbie read them from the certificate, so. I really just feel, as I shared a little bit in the preaching last week, that it's time to live out that preaching from being in a few boats over the last few years and not being willing to step out of those things and just receiving what the Lord has been calling me to for many years and raising me up for and not being willing or feeling ready. And I feel like in the sabbatical that was made very clear to step out and use the gifts the Lord has given me. So looking forward to moving more into that role.
Yes. Now don't go to the next slide. Don't go to the next slide. So then God spoke to people and spoke to us about people. That's how it works. And we want to share that with you. So there are two men that I'm going to introduce to you now. The one via video because he can't be here right now, and the other one will be easier. That God has been speaking to that will fulfill roles of what we call ministry directors. So that's if you will be ordained as a pastor one day. It's kind of the same role as what Benjamin's occupying now. We call it a ministry director role. There will also be what we would call elders in a training, young, strong men on their way that will work with the elders and with Juliet in ministry and operations and learning governance, but in ministry fully and operations, taking a lot of the things that I did that Jacques's not going to do from me and focus, like doubling down on some of the things that we'd always wanted to actually double down on but didn't have the capacity to. And now we might have. And God has given us the cream of the crop. So I'm first going to speak about a couple called Gary and Linka. You can maybe stand up so that everyone can just see you. They're really, really good looking too. So I'm starting like that because it's just amazing. One day God came to me. No, that was not that. That was a different day. This day, Jacques came to me earlier this year. Beginning of the year, I think. I can't remember. He came to me and he said, because he was trusting God for his release at Outsource CFO. So he needed to appoint a financial manager under him that would then cause his release. So then he prayed about that, and he felt God say, and he came to me and said, I felt God told me, which is not something that Jock does too often. So he doesn't just come to you and say, I felt God said this, I felt God said that. That's why you can trust him as an elder, because he doesn't run around saying that the whole time. Okay? He says, I really felt God say that we should appoint Ninka as the financial manager under me that would cause, and I said, wow, okay. Because I'm involved in HR in OCFO. So then we got involved in that. The craziest thing was, I was looking at my book right then, and I said, Jacques, you won't believe this, but in praying about succession and transition, like I felt God told me that he has chosen Gary. So I was like, wow. Let's see how this is going to play out. So the long and the short of it is that Ninka started working under Jacques at Outer CFO on Monday, and that Gary resigned his full-time role as an attorney on Friday to start with the church on the 4th of May. So once again, this is a team effort, and it's God moving things in ways that he speaks, he does, and things happen. He speaks to us about people, and speaks to people, and then things just happen. There's a lot more to this, but Gary is married to Ninka. Gary is an admitted attorney, and he studied the hardest course available at university, BEAC LLB. Gary has got a clear call to pastoral ministry and law, the legal side of things, which for a while he'll do much less of and focus on ministry only, but will still keep that flame burning. He's been a worship leader, phenomenal worship leader and songwriter, should I say, at Shofar Cape Town City. And he is also with Juliet enrolling for a Masters of Divinity at SATS, South African Theological Seminary. Gary is going to start on the 4th of May as a ministry director. He'll be responsible for pastoral care and counseling, men's ministry, venue and contract management. He's a lawyer, praise God for that. Church communication and announcements. Strategic rhythm lead, so the strategic direction comes from the elders, the way it finds its the way we execute that, I think is quite professional if you ever wanted to see. He will get to learn how to do that, and he would do that. Technology and equipment, and media should be in there, but it isn't, which is going to be a challenge, I think. Teaching and preaching, elder and training, and I think you'd agree with me that Gary looks like a church camp. So he'll make sure that whenever we should do that, he'll make that happen. So put your hands together and let us quickly hear from Gary.
Yo, my heart's been racing in that seat. Yeah, I think I mentioned to some of the leaders a while ago that when Ninka and I slotted in here, this church has given us so much, and I think we just want to give back. And it's been a few months of self-discovery and asking God what is our next obedient step to take. And I think if I hadn't resigned before Friday and having heard Juliet's message on Sunday, I would have probably typed my resignation email in that seat. So there's been a lot of confirmation, and a lot is still unknown, but we have a lot of peace and combination of desire and burden that we're holding on to you know, just help see this through with everyone. So we're very excited, and thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Then I'll go to the next slide. I'll give first intro to the next slide. Then there is another man who is new to our church, but he's not new to Shofar. Many of you might not have spent a lot of time with him, but he is a man that is called to church planting and to business, exactly like I am. And he is, about a year ago, God spoke to him and said, leave your job, start a company. So he started a training company. And he started that because when he knew if he's got that going, then God can release him to plant churches whenever God calls him. So that's part of the plan. And so he came to me and said, I started the company, it's going really well. I've got lots of time available. I want to do ministry. Can I do ministry? I said, that's the right timing. Thank you very much. This sounds like God. So without further ado, I can introduce to you another ministry director that's going to start with us 2 days a week tomorrow. And his name is Chris van der Meulen. Chris is not here, but he's a phenomenal guy. And he made a little video for us that we'll play just now. Chris is married to Raquel. He's a qualified CASA, like Jacques, and he studied the hardest course at university, BEAC LLB. God is giving us the cream of the crop. Both of these guys studied BEAC LLB, and now they're coming into ministry. So I know that's got very little to do with ministry, but it says a lot about the potential of the guys God is saying, run. He studied the same as Gary, but he's qualified the same as Jacques. He's the founder of Nautical Trading, and he's called for business and church planting. He's going to do small groups as a ministry, much more effort into that, small group training, small group direction, all that stuff, going to work with you guys a lot more. Missions and church planting coordinator, that's the role I've held. Business discipleship, focused on those called to business. He's going to sit with groups of people called to that. Teaching and preaching financial management, which I have tried to do, which he can do for the church, and to be an elder in training. So let's have a look at a video. Chris.
Good morning, church. It is such a blessing to have been asked by Devia to share a quick message with you around the exciting news on joining the church's ministry team. And I'm sorry that I can't be there in person to share it. The church has been such a blessing to me and Raquel since we moved down from Joburg last year and got slotted in. From the first time we visited, it really felt like home. And it's been such an exciting journey since then. So the move was largely due to a step of faith last year, where I felt the Lord release me to step out of corporate and start my own business. And as I took that step of faith, I felt the Lord say that there would also be the opportunity to take another step of faith in relation to ministry. And that the Lord had called me specifically to pursue a calling in business and in ministry in parallel. And as we got slotted in here, it's been amazing to see how the Lord has brought specific people across my path who are modeling exactly that, pursuing that calling in business and ministry at the same time. And I really felt the Lord saying, this is what I've called you to, and I've brought people across your path to model that for you and show you how it's done. And so the invitation from Diabia to join the team in conjunction with that and receiving a number of specific words from the Lord gave me the confidence to step into it. It's been an amazing almost follow on from what Juliet shared last week, because it's really been for me a step of faith out of the boat onto the waters, trusting that the Lord would be faithful and that I can rely on him. And I think the conviction of my heart is really that the Lord calls us to be bold in our faith and not to shy away. So really excited about the season ahead, about walking a journey together with you. And thank you so much for the opportunity to do that.
Yes, Chris. The worship team can make their way to the front. God is building his church, and in his wisdom, he has called extraordinarily gifted and passionate leaders to guide this congregation in the season ahead. I'm deeply humbled and honored to witness these leaders embrace the call, laying down their lives to serve and strengthen and build what he's doing here alongside those that he will still call and that we will also announce to you as things go forward. I trust this sparks faith in you and that you could see God at work in this. I want us to now all stand together and worship. We're going to bring all this to God and worship. Let our first response be to him. If it's what's in your heart, if it's thanksgiving, if it's praise, raise it up to him first. If it's a question or a concern or a fear, let's raise it to him before we raise it to anyone else. Amen. So he's the good shepherd that's leading us. And then if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you're a member of our congregation, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, please come and share that with me. We'd love to minister into what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning also through you guys as we follow the leading of His Spirit. Let us worship together.
Jesus, we look to you.